This is a People First Radio podcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Just as observers predicted that healthcare issues were going to make it into the current federal election campaign, a global financial tremor turned all the attention to the economy. It seems the election trump card called the economy, whether or not there is a perceived economic threat, usually prevents meaningful discussion related to healthcare matters during campaigns.
Dr. Trevor Hancock, a public health physician and professor at University of Victoria, says the government's most important role is to look after the well-being of citizens rather than the well-being of the economy. He argues that health should be a key issue in any election campaign, and he means health rather than health care. The distinction is important. I spoke with Trevor Hancock earlier this week.
You've made a clear distinction between health and health care in your newspaper columns. Tell us about that distinction.
Well, I was trained in medicine, and it was probably 7 years or so before I really got into public health. And what I learned that led me into public health is that medicine and healthcare is not the major determinant of our health. That although we tend to think of the healthcare system as providing us with health, it's really an illness care system. It looks after us when we're not well. But it doesn't actually make us healthy, and most of the things that make us healthy lie beyond healthcare in the other areas of our lives and the other areas of government and public policy.
Now, you're talking about the concepts related to population health.
That's correct, yes, that things such as energy policy or food policy or housing policy or economic policy, all of those aspects of public policy affect our health either positively or negatively. And so how do we create public policies in, let's say, the area of housing or energy or food that are good for health?
So is there confusion about which levels of government are responsible for example, health and healthcare? And if so, how does that affect our understanding of health in the context of politics?
Well, if we deal first with healthcare is a provincial responsibility under our constitution. So the federal government doesn't, in fact, run the healthcare system, apart from for First Nations and the armed forces. So provinces run their own healthcare systems. So we actually don't have a single national health system. We have 10 provincial health systems and 3 territorial health systems. When it comes to the policies that are made that affect our health, it's not just provincial governments, however. It's both the federal government and, very importantly and often overlooked, municipal government. The decisions that municipalities make about housing and parks and urban design and transportation and so on, public works, clean water, sanitation, all of those areas of municipal policy have huge impacts on our health, which is why I'm very interested in how we make cities and communities more healthy.
You've pointed out that the current federal election campaign, and I would suggest most election campaigns, has focused on the economy. You write that the well-being of the economy and the well-being of Canadians are not the same thing. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, at one level, it's an almost philosophical discussion about what business are we in as a society, as a community, as a government. And I don't think that our purpose in life, that the reason we're here, is to grow the economy. I would like to think that what we ought to be doing is maximizing the well-being and, even more broadly, the level of human development and the development of human potential for the population. If that is the case, then the economy is simply one of the mechanisms we can use to do that. But if we put the economy first, then we're necessarily putting well-being second. And I would simply like to reverse those and say the business of government is to maximize human well-being and human development, and that it uses all of its tools, including economic policy, to do so. So economic policy should serve human development, not the other way around.
Now, there are ways of increasing the focus on health, and one of the things that you comment about, or some of the things that you comment about, are related to recommendations that came out of the Canadian Senate, suggestions for improving the health of Canadians through governance. What would that look like?
Well, if we accept the argument that I'm making, that most of the public policy areas that affect health lie beyond the jurisdiction of the Ministry of Health, We can't look to the Minister of Health, who is really a Minister of Illness Care, if we're being truthful. We can't look to that minister or that ministry to create health for Canadians. It's actually a government-wide priority. And so what the Canadian Senate, in its report in 2010 on population health, what they did was they acknowledged that that's the reality, and they recommended mechanisms to deal with it. And what they recommended primarily is that governments, and this will be at all levels, federal and provincial in particular, but also municipal, that they recognize that they need a population health policy, or if you like, a population well-being policy. And they recommended a mechanism to do that, which was that each of the provincial governments and the federal government should establish a cabinet committee focused on human well-being and human development. Interestingly, we don't usually have those committees. We have committees on economic development in cabinet or social development, which is a piece of human development, but it's human development is a bigger issue than that. And all of those other committees exist, committees on environment and resources and sustainable development, but we miss the well-being of people as really being the central focus. So if you did that, then you need a committee of cabinet, and they recommended it be chaired, in fact, by the Prime Minister federally or the premiers at the provincial level, so that you can bring to focus in one place all of the things that would maximize well-being as government policy.
Now, it seems that this would mean that major policies and programs would need some kind of health impact assessment. Can you give us an example of what that might look like in practice?
Well, I can give you both a national level one and a local level one that are very interesting and current. At a national level, we should be looking at the health impact of energy policy and energy systems. And if we do that, I think we would discover that our carbon-based energy system, our oil and gas and coal-dependent energy systems, are much less healthy in terms of their impact on the well-being of people than alternative energy systems, conservation and renewable energy in particular. They have a much smaller health impact assessment. So if you look at the health impacts of the entire fuel cycle, from the mining or the construction of dams or the fracking, all the way through to the end use of that energy and the pollution that results from that, and looked at the health impact and the environmental impact too of all of that, and then compared the health impact of wind energy or solar energy, the impacts are much less. Now, at a municipal level, a very interesting one to look at is transportation policy and urban planning policy. So when we build urban sprawl, we actually make public transport pretty impractical because there's not a sufficient number of people who can ride it. It's too low density. So we don't then have public transport. Well, it turns out that public transport, for a variety of reasons, is better for our health. It's safer. It creates fewer air emissions and greenhouse gases per mile traveled. It also creates a social well-being, because people are literally sort of having to meet their neighbors and learn how to live together in a crowded space. And it also creates physical well-being. People who are using public transit are moving more, they're exercising more. So if you start to look at the health impacts of those sorts of policies, we would have very different policies to the ones we have today.
Now, for anyone who's listening and is thinking, I doubt very much that health is going to make it onto the agenda of the election or onto the agenda of any government in the foreseeable future, you say these aren't pie-in-the-sky ideas. They've been implemented elsewhere.
Well, they have indeed, and one of the better examples is South Australia, the state of South Australia, which has put a considerable focus on creating these kind of mechanisms and structures and changing the sorts of policies that result from that. You also see much the same in the municipal level in healthy city initiatives, where local governments have looked at all the different ways that they can coordinate their local policies to do that.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I don't think so. I think in terms of this becoming an election issue, I think the central issue here is how do we get our governments to focus not simply on economic policy as if that was our purpose as governments and our purpose in life, but to focus on human well-being and human development and to say, really, that is the business of government. And if governments aren't doing that, then they aren't doing a proper job.
Dr. Trevor Hancock, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
You are very welcome.
Dr. Trevor Hancock is a public health physician and a professor and senior scholar at the School of Public Health and Social Policy at the University of Victoria. You can find his newspaper columns online at timecolonist.com.
People First Radio is an initiative of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and broadcast on CHLY 101.7, radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the partnering organizations. Listen to People First Radio on demand. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.